You are Locked On Vikings, your daily Minnesota Vikings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Locked On Vikings on the Locked On Podcast Network. A new year for the Minnesota Vikings, 2018, and we'll see what it holds. Might be a Super Bowl in store at U.S. Bank Stadium. It's been a while since we talked to Sage Rosenfels. We have a lot to talk about. He joins us now. Sage, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Hope your holidays were great. Did you get everything you wanted?
I believe so. My kids and I went on a little ski trip. That's where I was out last week. Went out to Colorado. We had a great time. But I still had time to watch the Vikings win versus the Bears, the Vikings win versus the Green Bay Packers the previous week, and some other football. And now you see how the playoffs are all sort of have sorted themselves out. And here we go. What we've been waiting for really now, it seems like for probably, six or seven weeks, it seemed like the Vikings were going to be in the playoffs. They've secured that second seed. And you and I were just talking. They really are almost like a number one seed in a sense, because the way Philadelphia is playing, it doesn't seem like they're playing at a level that they would win their first game, which would be a divisional game. But their first game, which if they lose, that means the Vikings will have sort of home field advantage throughout the playoffs.
Where should we start here? Let's just kind of sum up the last two Vikings games. You know, we saw on the schedule that you had Cincinnati, Green Bay, Chicago to end the year. And you knew that those were all winnable games. You knew they should win, but they still have to go out on the field and prove it. And they really dismantled all three of those teams. And even against Green Bay and Chicago, didn't play to their best ability, but they still beat the Packers 16-0. They beat the Bears 23-10. And the Vikings have 13 wins. No team in the NFL has more than that. Patriots, Steelers, Eagles, all matching them with 13. How would you evaluate the last couple games for the Vikings? Obviously, from a defensive standpoint, they didn't allow a defensive touchdown. Offensively, maybe leaving something to be desired.
Yeah, the defense has played absolutely phenomenal, but their offense has not played great. They played okay. And I think, you know, part of the mindset probably has been like, let's not screw this up and let's let our defense sort of dominate these games, and they've done that. And you know, the offense have definitely done some good things. If you look at statistically, I mean, Keenum's played well. They've run the ball well. And they've just played good enough to win. They just haven't played great football. But I think what's really nice is they're going to get rested here. They're going to get healthy. By the way, the injury to Nick Easton is, I think, a big injury. That offensive line has played great all year. And losing one of their offensive linemen for the rest of the year is a big injury. But I think they played good enough to win those games. Obviously, the defense has been phenomenal all year, and they're going to have to play great throughout the playoffs. So, as I said, their offense wasn't as high powered as it was early in the year. But we shall see what they have in store for the playoffs.
Yeah, they came out of their first bye week after a self-scout, and the offense looked great. They put up 38 against Washington, 24 against the Rams, 30 against the Lions, and then after that tailed off a bit. Obviously, the Cincinnati game was nice, 34 points. One of those was a defensive touchdown. But they need to get back to where they were post-bye, and again, they have a self-scout, which they're executing this week. They'll come back with a plan of attack for their first opponent. And that first opponent's going to be one of three teams. Now, we can't really know which game is going to decide it yet because they reseed after the first round. So the Vikings will play the highest remaining team from the first weekend of games. If the Rams win, if they beat the Falcons, it'll be Vikings-Rams rematch at U.S. Bank Stadium. If the Falcons win, then the Vikings will play the winner of Saints and Panthers. And they can't play the Falcons because they would automatically be teamed up with the Eagles. So the Vikings will play either the Rams, Saints, or Panthers. The Vikings played all three of those teams, Sage. I mean, what does your gut tell you about those possible matchups?
Well, the one that concerns me actually is the Rams, even though the Vikings really destroyed the Rams, 6 weeks ago or something like that. Vikings played very, very well against them. But, yeah, they're all good football teams. I'll tell you what, the NFC this year You've got six football teams that I think anybody could beat anybody. Very different than the AFC. I don't see the Patriots and the Steelers losing to the, you know, Titans or Chiefs or Bills or Jaguars. I think it's like two at the top and four at the bottom. But in the NFC, I think all six teams are extremely equal. It's an any given Sunday type of scenario. None of the teams concern me as far as, you know, it's nice the Vikings play at home. And I think that actually is an advantage when, you know, they lost at the Panthers. They won at the Falcons. Obviously, they destroyed the Rams at home. The Eagles don't scare me of all the teams. I think they might be the sixth best team in the NFC right now, which is a strange thing to say because they have the number one seed. But obviously, the Carson Wentz injury is so big for them. But I like the way the Vikings match up against, you know, against those football teams, being that, you know, they've beaten, you know, the majority of the teams in the playoffs in the NFC this year.
Well, the Eagles are going to be playing the Saints, Panthers, or Falcons. Just imagine the discrepancy in quarterback play between Nick Foles and any of those teams. You've got Drew Brees going in, Cam Newton, or Matt Ryan. That is such a disadvantage for the Eagles. It's unbelievable. And they got shut out, obviously. Some of their starters weren't playing, but shut out in the season finale against Dallas.
Yeah, you've got former MVPs and multiple Pro Bowl quarterbacks playing against Nick Foles, who has not played well. He played well in the first game he started. He threw four touchdown passes against the New York Giants, who are absolutely terrible. But since then, he has not played very good football. And the other day, he played, did he play a half, maybe, something like that?
Yeah.
And threw an interception and threw for about 40 yards, and that's about it. I think that the Eagles are not the strongest team in the NFC. I think it's the Minnesota Vikings. And if the Eagles lose their first game, which is a second-round game, I mean, the Vikings will have home field advantage really all the way through the Super Bowl.
You mentioned that you're most concerned about the Rams. I would say I'm most concerned about the Saints. Here's why. So with the Rams, when they played at US Bank Stadium in Week 11, I've never seen a quarterback so flustered as Jared Goff was. Before the snap, he was panicky. He was frequently letting the play clock get down to 1 or 2 seconds. He was having big-time issues with what the Vikings were showing defensively. With the Panthers, I feel like the Vikings gave that game away in Carolina. They've had Cam Newton's number in the past, and they had so many mistakes in that game that it was such a self-inflicted loss. I didn't feel like the Panthers really went out and beat them in that game. In the Saints' case, the Saints are used to that fast turf, which they would get in U.S. Bank Stadium. Their quarterback has Super Bowl pedigree. I think the Saints give me the most pause when I think about playing them and having to stop those speedy running backs that they've got.
Well, and I you think that Drew Brees is not scared to play, you know, anywhere versus anybody, and that he's one of those guys that rises to the occasion. They also would be playing in a dome, which would help out Brees. You know, he wouldn't play probably as well in Philadelphia or in Carolina if he had to go to these away games with bad weather. He just doesn't have a strong enough arm anymore. But what scares me about the Los Angeles Rams is their running back. I think Todd Gurley is absolutely phenomenal. You know, he probably, in my opinion, should be the NFL's MVP this year. The way he's run the football and caught the football in the backfield, his yards from scrimmage are unbelievable. And their defense is really good, too. So, you know, we'll see how this first round shakes out. But you know, either way, the Vikings are going to get an opponent that they are better than, that they play their style of football the way they played for the vast majority of the season, that they will win. They should win whoever they play in their first matchup.
Yep, they'll definitely be favored. So what did the 2009 Vikings do during the bye week? Because clearly you came out of that thing on fire, ready to go. You just destroyed the Dallas Cowboys 34-3. What did you do during that preparation week for the Dallas Cowboys?
I feel like we had most of the week off, to be honest with you. I think we had almost an entire week off. The regular season ended, and if I recall, we came in on Monday, had meetings, and I don't even think we had anything, you know, Tuesday all the way through the following, you know, Sunday maybe or something like that. I think they gave us a ton of time off Most of the guys stuck around. It's not really enough time off and or the time of year to, you know, go on some vacation or something like that. So I think most guys stuck around and stayed in shape and watched film and obviously watched all the football games, you know, that weekend to see who our upcoming opponent was going to be. And then we were back to work on Monday like a regular week, but we were fresh. And that's the main thing. The Dallas Cowboys came into that game with a few injuries from their wild card game. And we came in that game extremely fresh, extremely healthy, and just dominated opponent who had already been beat up a little bit. We really, you could say, stood on top of them and just sort of kept them down and yeah. Just sort of kept beating on them and kept kicking them while they're down. And it was really a butt kicking by the end of that football game.
Yeah, wasn't Tony Romo's finest moment. I believe their field goal kicker missed a couple kicks. Their defense just got worked. Sidney Rice had 3 touchdowns in that game. He was a special player that year. That was one of the greatest Vikings playoff performances of all time. And, of course, unfortunately, it led up to the infamous Saints game. Do you feel like the playoff vibe is different? You know, people talk about in the NBA how they start playing defense in the playoffs, and it's more in the half court, and there's just so much more effort on that side of the ball. Does the game change in the playoffs in football as much as it might in basketball?
I think just the room for error is so much smaller, and I think the game becomes a little more violent in the playoffs. Not that players don't give it their all during the regular season, but it just seems like there's another level of guys really playing to the edge of what is really almost safe, and guys really lay it on the line during the playoffs. You'll see a ton of guys, and this is in all these playoff games, you will see more guys go to the locker room in the second quarter, first quarter, third quarter, and then come back and play. You'll see it a lot. There is a lot of pain-killing shots taken in the playoffs more than a regular season. There's a lot of, you know, somebody might have a small tear or may have a small this, but they'll continue to play the game to try to finish it out. The playoffs really are brutal because people put it on the line, throughout the playoffs. And I think defenses are just it's just more vicious. And offensively, you just can't make mistakes as a quarterback. You have to be smart with the football. And the games are just seem to be so much tighter. You have to stay away from mistakes as a quarterback.
Big deal or no big deal, the Vikings are incorporating a new long snapper, Jeff Overbaugh, because Kevin McDermott dislocated his shoulder. Overbaugh didn't really have a hiccup in that first game against the Bears. Do you think this is a concern at all to bring in someone at this stage?
No, I don't think so. Long snapper is one of those positions where you can pluck a guy off the street as long as he can do the job, and he can just, you know, sort of fit right into that spot. There's not a lot of X's and O's stuff. I mean, there's a few calls here and there, but at this point, most long snappers, even from college, you know what they're supposed to be doing. So, no, I saw him. I was really keeping a close eye on him the other day, and he looked good. Snaps are, you know, near the waist for the punter, and all look solid for the kicking game. So, I think they went off and they found a guy who can do the job.
Okay, we've got some coaching moves here to address, and then we'll call it a day. 5 coaches fired, 1 retired. John Fox gone as expected. Chuck Pagano gone as expected. Ben McAdoo, he was fired before the end of the year. Jack Del Rio, I think people expected, and there's rumor that John Gruden's going to fill in there. And the one surprise, I would say, Jim Caldwell. Jim Caldwell, who went 9-7 this year, made the playoffs last year, he is out in Detroit. And on top of that, non-head coaching decision, but changing general manager. Ted Thompson is changing roles in the Packers organization to open the door for a new Green Bay GM. The longtime GM, Ted Thompson, who a lot of people have grown frustrated with, stepping down from the position. What surprises you most?
I was going to say, and Dom Capers, the defensive coordinator, has basically been fired. By the way, I think that the Caldwell is a little bit of a surprise, and I think the Del Rio firing is a surprise. But I think they went 12-4, 11-5 a year ago, and that just got to be – imagine being an NFL head coach and you go 12-4 in a season, and the next year you just have a bad year and you're fired – just like that, one bad year. I mean, it doesn't make that 12-4 season feel all that positive as far as job security. So to me, that one was a little bit surprising as well, even though I as you said, you know, John Gruden has a good shot to getting that job. And maybe once the Raiders knew they had, or they thought they were going to get John Gruden, it made that firing, you know, much easier.
So what do you think the odds are that Pat Shurmur ends up in the division with the Bears or Lions? Apparently they both requested to interview him.
Yeah, that wouldn't be surprising. I think one, you know, he's been a head coach once before, but it was for the Cleveland Browns. So it's sort of like with an asterisk, it's sort of, you can say like, well, he was a coach of the Cleveland Browns. It's not really his fault. It doesn't seem like it, because it would be everyone's fault who's ever coached the Cleveland Browns, because they've just been terrible forever. So I think that he'll have a shot to get one of these jobs. I think it helps that the Vikings have this bye. That really does help out the assistants who get interviewed, whether it's the Patriots or the Vikings, Steelers or Eagles, whoever it might be. You know, you have this week to do all these interviews, which these other teams can't do. So I think that's that sort of gives you an extra, you know, leg up. You're sort of the first one to the door. And I think Pat Shurmur will interview very, very well. So, you know, his offense has been very, very good since he overtook the, you know, play calling duties, and then sort of fully the coordinator throughout this year. You know, he has done a great job with, you know, missing his star tailback and really playing with his backup quarterback, who has played at a Pro Bowl level.
If you look at a likely Super Bowl matchup, Vikings and Patriots, all four of their primary coordinators could be leaving. George Edwards is probably more unlikely, but Shurmur is likely. I would say McDaniels and Patricia with the Patriots are very likely to get a job somewhere else. They're so highly sought after because they're from New England. I mean, there's going to be a lot of movement in the coaching staffs of these winning teams. I know the Eagles have some guys, you know, Frank Reich could be on the move, Jim Schwartz, their quarterback coach, John DeFilippo, I know is sought after. So there's a lot of great teams that are going to be losing talent. Is that a result of just winning? Winning does that. They make guys, you know, hot commodities, whereas, you know, maybe someone who's very competent but on a losing team doesn't get the same attention.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's the whole thing. And that's why Brad Childress got his job, because the Eagles for years were one of the most consistent teams in the NFL. So you go and you pluck a coordinator off that team. That's just what teams do. So, you know, a lot of times there's a lot of great assistants. To be honest with you, there's a lot of great assistants on teams that just aren't very good. And it's not necessarily the coach's fault. Just sometimes teams aren't very good. They don't have a quarterback. They don't have, you know, maybe good coaching on the other side of the ball, or the, you know, the defense maybe isn't very good. They don't maybe have great players in the team, but the coaching can be, you know, very, very good. So everyone always points towards the teams that have the best record as the coaches you want to get. But a lot of times teams have the best record. A lot of times that has to do with players, you know, more than coaches. So you need the Jimmys and the Joes. You also need the X's and O's. And the Vikings have a very good coaching staff. Mike Zimmer has really put together a good staff, and there's a lot of good young coaches on that staff as well.
Yep, and I know we're both rooting for Stefanski to get promoted if Shurmur were to move on. You know, certainly we're both biased because we both like Stefanski, but objectively, I think he's probably the favorite because he knows every position, he knows every player. I think he's a perfect fit, and it's in-house. You don't bring in a bunch of new ideas to mess with what's working. It feels like a natural fit to me, and we'll unpack that more, obviously, as the season goes on. But I think he's got a great shot, I really do.
Yeah, he would have a good shot at it. Obviously, he's been the quarterback's coach. He's coached the other positions, and you don't want to change their offense. Their offense has been one of the better Vikings offenses probably since 2009. My guess is statistically this has been their best offense since then. So, you know, the quarterback's coach has definitely a lot of influence. I'd say it's offensive coordinator, O-line coach, and quarterback's coach are sort of the three main coaches of an offense. So if they lose Pat Shurmur, you got to think that Stefanski will either be the coordinator, or maybe he'll be the passing game coordinator, and Tony Sperano will be the run game coordinator or something like that. But he will definitely be probably first in line, or one of the main names that's brought up to replace Pat Shurmur if he gets a head coaching job somewhere else.
Absolutely. Plenty more to unpack as the week goes on, Sage. We'll save a little bit for later on. We'll maybe get an injury update on the Vikings today. They will practice at 10:15, so I'll hustle over to Winter Park, get the report, and we'll talk to you again this week on Locked On Vikings.
All right, sounds good.
All right, it's playoff season. Sage Rosenfels, Sam Ekstrom, at Sam Ekstrom, at Sage Rosenfels 18. LockedOnVikings.com, at LockedOnVikings. You can hear us on iTunes, all over the web, the Locked On Podcast Network.